In this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised seven to raise models of integrity and power. Models that will rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imagination. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where He has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of a word of life. Join God's choice servant for the world of His grace.
By the Spirit, by the anointing of the Spirit, every need here is met in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' name we pray. Please, can we celebrate this wonderful, beautiful choir? The Lord bless you and cause this week to bring forth abundance to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. A man that stands in honor is not because of him, but of the privilege of the person who has given the honor. I stand in honor before this great house because of my Father. And so, church, I want us, please join me as I celebrate him to say thank you for this privilege, sir. Thank you, ma. Thank you. Thank you, pastors. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to look at a topic. Joy is here. Joy is here. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, which is the theme for the month, the core place where the theme of the month was taken from, says, therefore, with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation. Therefore, with joy shall he draw water out of the wells of salvation. Let's look at a few words here. First, say with joy. Two, draw water. Three, wells of salvation. Not single word, wells of salvation. When we come into salvation, when we get born again, there are privileges, there are benefits in salvation. If you are saved by the blood of Jesus this morning, there are abundance, massive benefits in salvation. Massive. The ones that in our lifetime, we will not be able to mine or fetch or draw waters out of it enough. All that we will ever need in life and in godliness is in salvation. Everything we need to have the best of life is in salvation. It's a package designed by God, salvation. It is not an escape route from hell to heaven. Yet, that is one of the benefits of salvation, is that hell is closed if you are saved. Then access to heaven becomes yours. But that's the most popular of the benefits that we have in salvation. The prophet used the word wells of salvation. It's not just one well. There are several wells that if we need to begin to fetch them, we will not be done with this well. In all of our life, it's well more than abundance for our life here and in eternity. So much is in salvation. So much abounds in the sacrifice of Jesus. Massive enough to redefine us. That just a word from that can change the entirety of our life. Just a word. This morning, the prophet says here, Prophet Isaiah says, there is a drawing of this water. There are methods to draw the water. If we get the benefit from salvation, there are the drawing. There are the methods. But however, no matter the method you will draw with, it can only be done with joy. No matter the method, whether through fasting and prayer, through praying, through confession, through release of your faith, whatever, through praise, whatever, if it is done without joy, it's a labor in vain. If you check through your life and you question these benefits in your own life, the benefit of salvation, if you think there's a struggle enjoying the benefit of salvation, then the very first thing to check is your joy. Because if you draw by any means without joy, then it becomes difficult to be able to draw this water. So, this morning, I want us to look a bit critical into this. And then, we can maximize what is available. The truth is, there is no labor that God will again put into work. No labor again concerning all our needs for the whole of eternity. When Jesus died, that single death was the final labor needed by God. All you need is already available to you, but it is you who take it. Now, let's look at how this joy is so important. It seems to be the all-important factor now, because regardless of our method of drawing, without it is a problem. Now, this joy, when I checked through a few dictionaries, I saw that joy was explained as an expression of emotion. But however, that seems far incomplete. Our English dictionary cannot explain the things that are divine. They can only explain the things that are physical. If we choose to live by the physical that they define us, we will be in trouble as believers. Because we are not created after that order first. It is only to live on earth that a body was given to us. Therefore, let's just look at these sources, how we can really get, you know, the sources of joy, or the two major types of joy here. The one defined by the dictionary, which Bible also explains. But Bible also explains one extra, which covers for the one defined in our dictionary and more. Now let's look at this view. It says, because the one major things we need to connect in this order is to understand the realm from which we are made. That's our source. They are realms. We function in two realms. And every believer is made, it's made from the best of two realms. Every believer sitting here in me, you are made from two realms. You have capacity to function within two realms effectively. The realm of God and the realm of man, or the realm of the natural. But let's look at Genesis to quickly get these things into order. Genesis chapter 1, 1 to 10, for example. I'm not reading, but you can put it there. Now, there's something very unique about it. When God went about creation, God went first creating the environment. God went about creating the environment. God created the light. He divided the light from darkness. He called the light day and darkness night. God created the firmament and called the firmament heaven. God gathered the waters together and dry land appeared, and God called it earth. God took care within verse 1 to 10. He took care of the environment. Created the heavens, the waters, the dry land, the firmament were made, the lights were created. And after God has done this, from verse 11 to 24, God turned to the nature. Listen, God turned to the nature. When God turned to nature and God said, for example, in verse 11, God turned to the earth and he said, let the earth bring forth grasses. Let the earth bring forth. God did not bring it forth. God turned to the grasses, or turned to the earth and said, let the earth bring forth grasses, herbs, fruits. The earth brought it forth. In 24, for example, also, God said, speaking to the earth, let the earth bring forth the living creatures. The animals were brought forth from the earth. That is their environment. The grasses, the trees, the fruit, they belong to the environment of the earth. After God has done that, God turned to the waters. In 21, for example, verse 21, God turned to the water and said, let the water bring forth abundantly moving creatures. God turned to the waters and said to the water, let the waters bring forth. Bring forth moving creatures. The fish came, the whale came into place. Even the flying birds came into being from that. But when he was turned of the man, God turned to himself and brought forth man. When he was the turn of man, God did not consult the earth, neither the waters. But he turned to himself and said, let us make man in our own image. He turned to himself, God turned to God and brought forth man. Man came into being. Our environment is God. The waters, the earth is not our environment. God is our environment. God turned to himself and brought forth man. After he has done that, let me show you something about that. Because there's quickly thought in your mind or so about what happened in Genesis chapter 7 when God formed man. But in chapter 26 and 27, that was where God brought forth man. After he has done that in his image, that is in the nature of God, in the same order of God, God brought forth man. After God has done that, Genesis chapter 2 verse 5. I want to read this. Genesis 2, 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every house of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the land. Yet, in chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, God has created man. In exact image, he has brought man forth. Here it says, there was no man on the earth. Why? Man was not first made from the earth. Man was first made in the substance of God. We operated at that time, at that dimension, at that realm of God. That was where man is. Then in Genesis 2, 7 now, after God has said there was no man on the earth, God now looked at the earth, took a substance of the earth, and gave it a form, which is the body we carry. In 7, God took of the dust of the earth. For us to live on earth, we must have a substance of the earth. That was the reason why man, God has to form. God did not say create, he said form. Form comes out of something. Creation is out of nothing. Man was first created, a spirit being, and God. In the same nature, order of God. That's who we are. That's our first source, God. He is our environment. Then he did this in verse 7 of chapter 2. When man was now given. You can see the body came in 2. Even the soul came in chapter 2. But the spirit of man was not mentioned here. You can see that man was formed, which is the body. You can see he breathed into it and a living soul. What happened? The spirit of man was the first thing God created. It came out of God. And so when Adam sinned, that was what died. The earth remained. The body didn't change. If you get born again this very morning, your body, you are the same physically, your soul physically, before and after you confess Jesus. But something happens in your spirit. God came into it. If you get born again now, it was brought back. The human life you had was supplanted by the Spirit of God at that instant. That is the source of man. And that is the two realm man can enjoy joy or experience joy. The realm of God, we are made of the word of God, of the word of God. We are made of the word of man, which is our body. And we can experience joy in these two realms. Dictionary can only explain the second one, which is nature. And unfortunately, many believers tend towards that. Now, see what the Bible says here. After this is done, God being our environment, and has taken care of that also. Now, if God has done this, man of a form of the earth, now, what does this test us strongly? We belong to the best of two worlds, in the realm of spirit. Apart on the earth today, apart from the Holy Spirit, the born again spirit is the highest spirit on earth, apart from the Holy Spirit. The devil is far lesser. Because of the realm of the spirit, we are of God. The devil is in that class. On earth today, the spirit of a believer, apart from the Holy Spirit, is the highest spirit that operates on earth. No other spirit is as high as the spirit of born-again believer. So, if that's been the case, let's look at the second direction of joy that speak. Or first, let's look at the one. Let me show you a scripture that speaks of that first one so that we can move on. The first one speaks, it's joy in harvest. Joy as a result of the things of good news. You pray, God answer. The joy you have when you got the job. The joy you have when you get back to a child. The joy you have when you got married. The joy of an answer prayer is the joy that dictionary can define. Answered prayer. And the Bible uses a word, for example, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 3. It's joy in harvest. Which, when the result shows up, the joy you have, the joy in harvest. Isaiah 9, he said, thou hast multiplied nation and not increased the joy. The joy before thee, according to the joy in harvest. And as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. If you have any prayer answered, one of the joy, that's one reason we give testimony. There's so much joy. Because the harvest of our prayer is come. We hear good news. There's so much joy. Our mission triggers. Something goes on within us emotionally that we want to, even want to testify of it. There's that joy. In harvest, that's the joy we have. A man planted after some years or some months, he harvested. There's joy of his labor. This verse, I prophet Isaiah also, liking it that the joy we have when we divide spoil. In those days, when king goes to war, when they conquer the king, the nation, all their goods become their own. It's the spoil. So what a joy when suddenly you became a multi-billionaire. Just because you conquered a nation. That's the joy. But that is far incomplete. If you live at this realm, your life will be miserable because you are not designed like that as a believer. The second joy, which is my FSC this morning, is the joy of the Lord. There's a joy that can come all from the Lord. How do I define this joy? How can I explain it? The best way I can give explanation to this joy is that this joy flows out of our spirit man. It's a joy. It's a force that flows out of our environment, which is our spirit, which is God. It flows from our spirit man. It's a force. It comes into any situation instantly. When that joy is there, whether you are in harvest or you are not in harvest, there is no difference because you will maintain a level that the devil is confused. It's a joy that can come only out of your spirit. See, this one contains the first one and more. It's a joy that proceeds genuinely when you get born again. There's a joy that fills your soul because something happened that Easter. This is the joy. Let's look at a few scriptures about it. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our God, neither be ye sorry or sorrowful. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy that proceeds out of our spirit is the one that gives us strength in this life. That joy is a joy that you are in need. You have a need and you want to draw. You have to come with this joy. The first joy, which is the joy in harvest, cannot draw from salvation. The reason is, it's a joy that happens after there's a miracle. That's the first one. It happens after there's a miracle, after there's an answered prayer. But you see, this joy that flows out of God into us, and out of us into our world, is the joy that we will come. Because, for example, I have a need. I need to fetch it or draw it from the way of salvation. He says, before I can draw it or draw that, I have to come to that well with this joy. So it's the joy before, and it's also the joy after. This is how strong and exceptional this joy is. That this joy gives us an enablement to do the things of God effortlessly, to live life effortlessly, to also partake of the things that are been freely given to us. Now, this joy, if you are saved, you have it. If you are not born again, as I speak to you right now, you are far from that joy. And there's no way you can draw from the wells of salvation. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It speaks of this joy as a fruit of the Spirit. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Listen, it is a fruit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. A singular fruit. The nine we have there is an expression of that fruit. It's just an expression. Love is an expression of the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is an expression of the fruit of the Spirit. Not fruits. It's a single fruit. But its expression is in seven, in nine dimensions. The day you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to take permanent residence in your spirit. And he came with all of his fruit nature. Romans chapter 5 verse 5 says something that gives us a hint about this. Romans 5, 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Love is an expression of the fruit. When the Holy Ghost came in, he shed in us, in our hearts, love. He shed in our hearts, joy. Joy was shed in our hearts, our spirit. The very day we got born again, it became a part of our spirit, a part of our being. It's not something you need to pray for. Hear me clearly. You have it. It is the expression that is your duty. You have the joy in you if you are saved. You got the joy of God. It was shed abroad in your heart the day you got saved. You got the joy. Yes, David said, take not away the joy of my salvation. David was a man that God did not live inside him. So he could only have an invitation of the Holy Spirit, which is we refer to as anointing. God could not live in him. The Holy Spirit can come to him. But in him, no Old Testament believer had the Holy Ghost in them. And so he could not share it in their spirit. And so that's why David was saying, take not away the joy of my salvation. Because the Holy Ghost wasn't inside him, he could not share this joy. But as a believer, the day after the sacrifice of Jesus, the joy became yours the day you got saved. So the question is, whose responsibility to express it? Is it that of the Holy Ghost or that of the man? This is the missing gap. If joy lacks, if joy withers in your life, this is the missing gap. You were waiting for the Holy Ghost to express joy out of you. No. That's far from what the Bible defines. He gave it to you. When I was going to school, the duty of my father was to give me my school fees. It was my duty to go pay it. If my father gave me the school fees and I was waiting for my father to go and pay it, I would probably never graduate from the university. As a believer, God has given us the joy. The expression of it is a function of you, and it's not a function of your circumstances. The expression has nothing to do with what you're going through. The expression has nothing to do. It has nothing to do with your challenges. But because we do not understand one of the greatest tools to victory, the devil pushes us to be sad and we are sad. Our emotion says, what is it you want to be happy about? You say, it is true. There's nothing to be happy about. And the devil is rejoicing. He's just standing on your shoulder and he's rejoicing. He says, be angry, more, be sad. It's not going to depression. What is the next thing? Take rope, kill yourself. Everything will be over. But that's not the truth. If you are saved, it's in you. It's your duty to express it. Let me show us some quick scriptures so that we can. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, let's look at how. How do we express it? What is the definition? What is the parameter? What are the things God has shown us in the scripture? How to do it, handle this. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. Verse 1 to 4 will be okay. It's good. You can write 1 to 4, but let's read 3, please. It says, for we are the circumcision. We are the saved. We are the born-again Christians, the believers, which worship God in the spirit, 1, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, 2, and have no confidence in the flesh. When we choose the second joy, we are trying to get confidence in the flesh. We are waiting for something to happen to be able to rejoice. But this is the order God gave us. He said, rejoice in Christ. I should not rejoice in the answered prayer. That should not be the basis of my joy. I should not be rejoicing because the job has come. There's nothing wrong. You can rejoice. It is wrong too. But that shouldn't be the basis. If you understand the basis of your rejoicing, that basis will produce the answers you want. When Hannah came into the temple and encountered the prophet, after the prayer, the Bible says he wiped off his face. He went with joy. He hasn't handled Samuel. Samuel was not there, but he went out with joy because a word came from the prophet. As soon he got the word, she got the word. She wiped off her tears, went happy, took her portion and went. So this is the issue. Our basis for rejoicing as a believer is in Christ. So if I have a need, I can lift up my hands to the Father and I say, Father, I thank you because you love me so much not to provide for my needs. Sometimes the songs we sing or the things we read, how do we think they are jokes or think the Bible, there are meaningless words in the Bible? We sang about the hymns. It was about the love of Christ. If really when we are singing it, we look deeply. If God loves us so much, will he withhold good things from me? I won't do that to my child. Why will God do that? Who has a far extreme capacity than I do? If I will do it to my child, is God wicked to do it to his own child? See, we need to approach God as a father and not as God. There's a mind sheet that if you get right, you will operate in the things that are available. I can lift my hands up and I say, Father, I am grateful that I'm saved. Because that is my access to all that is available in God. If I was not saved, I don't have access to what is available in God. The bread is for the children, Jesus said. So if I am a child, I have access to all that is in Christ. So why should I rejoice? I should rejoice in Christ. I lift up my hands before trouble, in the face of trouble, and say, Lord, I'm grateful. For your word says to me, you will never leave me or forsake me. Right in the den of lion, when the lion is roaring at you, the troubles, the challenges are roaring at you, you can smile with your father and say, I know you are with me. It's a word that God cannot fail to honor. Bible says by two immutable things, by which it is impossible. Impossible. It is not in God's character or ability to lie. It is impossible to lie. So if he says, he will never leave me nor forsake me, I choose that. I can go to bank with that. I can build my life upon that word. I can rejoice upon that word. It doesn't matter. A gun is pointed. I can say to myself, God has said he will not leave me or forsake me. Can anybody kill God? And so, it's a mind sheet. I can approach God as a beggar. I can approach him as a son. How much do we give to beggars that beg us? You are looking for change, 20 naira, 50 naira to give. We deprive ourselves when we approach God from the point of God. He's God, but he's my father. He is my father. It would almost be impossible for my father, if two of us are in need, my biological father, and one that is not his son, and he can only attend to one. It's not possible to abandon me to attend to the one. If both of us, for example, need school fees to graduate from school, the other person said, his son came and said, I go to my father and said, I don't have school fees. I have to pay my school fees now. They want to send me away. The neighbor child said, they sent us away yesterday. That's why I'm not going to school. My father will pay mine if that's the only thing he has. So when I approach God as a father, it's a man sheet. Then I can sit down and rejoice that this problem, I will see your end and not you see my end. There is no way you can overcome God. You can't overcome me. I can speak with this understanding, joy will well up. That's, you are letting loose the joy. All that is in Christ. He said, rejoice in Christ. I can rejoice at the things that are in Christ. I can rejoice at the blood of Jesus. When I rejoice, thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. All that is in the blood is invoked. The covenant of the blood is invoked. At that moment, I'm rejoicing in Christ. If the blood can redeem me, then the blood can protect me. The basis of our joy is in Christ. Did the Bible not say God can turn these stones to children? The Bible says God can turn this stone to children. Stone. God can. So, why do I have a challenge in that order? And I go, sorrowful. I could stand before my father and I say, Father, thank you because you are gracious and kind. There's no one like you, my father. No one like you. Oh, my children are flowing in. Thank you, Lord. I know you will do it. It's a knowledge of what God, who God is and the things he has made available to us. We can rejoice in the finished work of Christ, which is all part of that. Psalm 5 verse 11. Psalms 5:11 says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. You come to pray. What is prayer? You are simply telling God, I trust you. I am trusting God to provide. Who goes to a man who cannot provide for him to go and beg? Please, can you? None. So the single act of prayer is an act of trust. But see what the Bible says here. He said, therefore, if you trust in me, he said, rejoice. He didn't say when you have it, rejoice. He said, if you trust me, rejoice. Why? It's a confident assurance that God can do, that God will do. Then I can go rejoicing. He said, let them ever shout for joy. Because thou defenderest them. He said, let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. If you love God, you will rejoice. See, he said, be joyful in God. He didn't say be joyful in the things you have. He didn't say be joyful in the things you do not have. Our joy is not a function of our need. No, it's a function of thee, God. It's a function of Christ. Rejoice in Christ. The word let is an action word. It's a verb. Let. It's an action. So he's saying let. He didn't say let God. He said let them. So who is to rejoice? Them. So the responsibility to express joy is you. All you need to do, no matter the situation, is to know one thing. I have a father. I have a father. That's what says. He knows my name. He knows my name. I am not among the crowd. He knows my name. So I can rejoice in this understanding. I love God. Joy must proceed out of me. 16 says, Psalm 16, 1. Let me tie this. All right. Psalm 16, 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. In the presence of God, they say, one thing is sure, there's fullness. So how to identify a man who have fellowship, who has God's presence, is joy. When you say the fullness where God is, where the presence of God is, there's fullness of joy. If I create fullness of joy, I have just invited God in. Because he can only dwell where there is fullness of joy. It is in the atmosphere of joy that God lives, not in sorrow. So when you are sorrowing, you are sad. You are actually chasing the presence away. Who will make do that? What you are believing God for, that presence, just the presence, the appearance of his presence, make that difference. So to identify whether you are, oh, we say prayer, we pray, is fellowship correct? Nothing wrong. Studying God's word, yes, it's correct. But he says here, if in his presence there is fullness of joy. So if I create joy, it means joy, God just accompanies me everywhere. What do I mean here? It's not God as in the Holy Spirit dwelling on the manifest presence of God. So you get into a situation, you just look like considering people are fighting to help you. Simple. You are carrying something, joy. When you carry joy, you are expressing God's presence. And so the atmosphere of sorrow is an atmosphere. The atmosphere of sorrow, mourning, and sadness creates a cultural medium that the devil demons operate under. Let me end with this scripture. Joel chapter 1, verse 12. Joel 1, 12. Joel 1:12. The vine is dry up, the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the tree of the field are withered. Because the only reason why things wither is that joy withers. If you are laboring in prayer and there's no joy, results can come. The only reason here why things wither, is joy. When joy withers in your life begins to slide down. The joy of the Lord is the joy that is not a definition of situation. Joy must not wither. Must not. It is the basis of drawing from the kingdom. It is the basis of having the things God says is available to us. Joy must not wither. Psalm 2:4 says, he that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. In Job 5:22, he said, at famine and destruction, thou shalt laugh. At famine, at destruction, what are you to do? Laugh. At destruction and famine, thou shalt laugh. No situation to define you. No. 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 The joy is in you. Express it. It's you that will laugh. It's you that will dance. See, when you are doing it, your body may not align immediately, but you will give up. It will give up. You do. Joy is our nature. Father, we thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for joy. Thank you for abundance of it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, this hour I declare by the power and the anointing of the Spirit, that with that joy is restored. With that joy is restored. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The anointing to do the things we have heard is given to us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's Choice Servant. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join God's Choice Servant in life-changing services at the Light Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda UA Road, Ibadan, every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.